Welcome to another episode of Commission Chats. I'm your host, John Scapini. Commission Chats is a podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the United States Sentencing Commission. Today, we're discussing USSC's recent research report released in March titled Compassionate Release, The Impact of the First Step Act and COVID-19 Pandemic. It's a special episode today as we're joined by a few guests to help us unpack all of this. First, let's hear from the Commission's Director of the Office of Legislative Affairs, Jen Burita. Jen, thank you for being here.
Hi, John. It's great to be back. Thank you.
Jen, we're talking about compassionate release today, which allows inmates to petition the court for a reduction in a term of imprisonment under limited circumstances, and this has gotten heightened attention during the pandemic. But I keep hearing about the CARES Act in relation to compassionate release. Are these two things the same?
We get this confusion a lot on the Hill and elsewhere. Compassionate release was enacted as part of the Sentencing Reform Act of 1984, and then it was revised again in 2018 under the First Step Act. It authorizes courts to reduce prison terms upon a motion by the defendant or the Bureau of Prisons. Then fast forward to the pandemic, Congress enacted what's called the CARES Act to address the pandemic COVID-19 pandemic in the U.S. The CARES Act actually authorizes the Bureau of Prisons to place certain offenders in home confinement.
I see. So there's a lot of actors at play here. Congress, the commissions, the courts, the BOP. One more, I think you got yourself a DC bingo.
That's right. And as you can imagine, it's important that congressional statutes and commission policy are in alignment. If they're not in alignment, then courts don't have clear guidance on things like compassionate release. In fact, one of the key findings in the commission's report on compassionate release is that there really is a lack of guidance among the courts.
Now, to learn more about the findings of that compassionate release report, I spoke with one of its authors, Assistant General Counsel Julie Zabolski. Julie, thanks for joining us and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, John.
So tell me about this report. What does it cover and what are some of the main findings of the report?
The report was designed to describe general trends in compassionate release over the course of fiscal year 2020. So immediately preceding and then directly following the emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic. The study group included more than 7,000 offenders who sought compassionate release during that fiscal year 2020 timeframe.
And sorry, just to clarify, can you spell out what sought compassionate relief means in this context?
Sure. So that refers to offenders who received a compassionate release decision, either a grant or denial, in fiscal year 2020, not to all offenders who filed a motion for compassionate release in fiscal year 2020.
Got it. And what were the findings?
The commission found that two notable developments drastically changed the compassionate release landscape. So first, the pandemic dramatically increased compassionate release requests. The number of offenders who were granted relief increased significantly from the previous year, and that occurred most notably in the second half of the fiscal year after the onset of the pandemic. Fewer than 7% of compassionate release decisions were issued during the first half of fiscal year 2020. And interestingly, more than 70% of the 1,805 offenders who were granted relief, COVID-19 was cited as at least one reason for a grant.
Doesn't sound too surprising given the impact of the pandemic.
Right, exactly. And then the second thing, many listeners probably know this, but the First Step Act provided an additional avenue for seeking compassionate release. So the act changed the statute to authorize defendants to file a motion for compassionate release once any administrative exhaustion requirement was met. Previously, only the BOP could file that motion for compassionate release. And this change contributed to many more motions being filed during the pandemic. 96% of the 1,805 offenders granted relief filed their own motion in fiscal year 2020.
Now, did the commission identify any factors as being most relevant to the court's decisions in these cases?
We did. So as one might expect, based both on the commission's policy statement and on COVID risk factors, age emerged as one of the central factors that impacted the likelihood that an offender would be granted compassionate release. That grant rate was highest, more than 60%, for offenders who were 75 or older, and it was lowest, below 20%, for offenders younger than 45. Another thing is that the likelihood that an offender would receive compassionate release substantially varied by circuit, from a grant rate high of more than 48% in the First Circuit to 14%, the low in the Fifth Circuit.
That is interesting data. Now, I know you and really the whole team worked incredibly hard on this. Do you have any more nuggets that you'd like to share with the listeners?
It might be useful to understand how impactful these compassionate release motions or decisions were on an offender's sentence. So offenders granted relief received substantial sentence reductions, both in months and as a percentage of their sentence imposed. In fiscal year 2020, the average reduction was nearly 5 years and more than 40% of the offender's sentence.
Julie, thanks so much for helping us understand this data from the commission. Now that we have a firm understanding of the trends and impact of these cases, Jen, you mentioned the importance of having consistent guidance for the courts. Can you elaborate on this?
Unfortunately, John, the commission last updated its policy statement in 2016. Then later, the First Step Act amended the statute, which allowed an inmate to file their own motion directly in federal courts, but only after administrative requirements had been met. Before the First Step Act, it was only the director of the Bureau of Prisons that could file these motions, and they didn't file very many.
Okay, so how did the commission respond to the First Step Act?
The commission lost its voting quorum shortly after the First Step Act was passed. That means that the current compassionate release policy statement does not reflect statute or changes made by Congress. We've discussed the First Step Act and the COVID-19 pandemic and how those have both impacted compassionate release. But the fact that the commission has not had a quorum since 2019 means that its policy on compassionate release has not been updated since the statute changed. Therefore, the policy is outdated and not reflective of current law. We've really seen a variation because of this scenario and how courts apply compassionate release throughout the country. And this is at a time when compassionate release motions have increased significantly and courts don't have the direction that they need from the commission.
It sounds like there's more work to be done in this area. You mentioned that this report represents the most comprehensive data release to date about compassionate release. Is it safe to assume the commission is going to monitor this closely?
Yes, absolutely. This is definitely an issue that the commission will continue to monitor. And in fact, the commission will be releasing new data in the very near future. Of course, the commission also looks forward to the restoration of a quorum with a bipartisan group of commissioners that can look at issues and update policies like compassionate release. The commission must have a quorum of 4 voting members for this to happen. And until that happens, the policy statement stays the same. So stay tuned.
That's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks again to Jen and Julie for joining me today. If you're interested in the Compassionate Release Report, you can find it on our website, ussc.gov. Be sure to follow us on Twitter to receive the latest news from the Commission. We are at @theussc.gov. And be sure to follow us on LinkedIn as well. This podcast is produced and published at U.S. taxpayer expense. That's all for now. I'm John Scapini, and thank you for listening to Commission Chats. Bye for now.